This is Carl, the Blood Moon Ursaluna. He represents one of the biggest problems when it comes to competitive Pokemon accessibility. And it's all because he's the slowest and weakest Ursaluna that you could ever find. You see, the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero DLC pack for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet added a ton of new Pokemon to the game, both old and new. And for the most part, made them easily accessible for competitive players. The new Paradox Pokemon, Iron Boulder, Iron Crown, Raging Bolt, and Gouging Fire all have set IVs and natures, meaning you do not even have to reset for them. You just fix them up with some items later on. And all of the reintroduced legendaries from the Snack Man have no guaranteed perfect stats or natures at all, and they're very quick resets. I know what you're thinking. No guaranteed stats would be quite a detriment in older generations. Why is it a good thing now? I'll explain, but before I do, let's get acquainted with the Pokemon stat system, and why you might not want all of your stats to be the highest possible value in competitive play, like Carl here. A Pokemon's displayed stat, which is what you see on the summary screen, is actually made up of three components. The Pokemon's base stat, the Pokemon's individual values, and the Pokemon's effort values. The base stat is something that varies based on species. For example, Glalie has an 80 base speed, but Frostlass has a 110 base speed. Next up is individual values, which is abbreviated as IVs. These are a randomized value that can range from 0 to 31, and they're different between every single Pokemon. Think of them as genetics. We're all humans, but your friend might be taller than you, or you might have wider shoulders than them. Last is effort values, abbreviated as EVs. These are stats that you gained from training Pokemon and using vitamins or feathers. It's why if you only level a Pokemon using rare candies, they will actually be a bit weaker than one that was EV trained. This is like working out at the gym or training for a specific sport. Now for our purposes, we can alter EVs and IVs, but not base stats. And EVs are simple, you just do not train a Pokemon in those stats. But IVs, they're a little bit more complicated. With all of that understood, let's take a look at the two main stats we would want to be lower rather than higher, and why. And they're attack and speed. Speed is pretty easy to explain. In competitive play, the move Trick Room twists the dimensions. What this extremely unclear text is trying to say is that now, while this field effect is active, slower Pokemon move first. So oftentimes, when you're building a team around this strategy, you may want your speed to be the lowest possible value. So it's as fast as possible while Trick Room is active. Alternatively, you may want your Pokemon to have its speed stat be somewhere in the middle. So it's faster than certain Pokemon outside of Trick Room, but faster than others inside of it. Frieza actually did this last year when he needed an Iron Hands with a 29 speed IV for his World Championship team. As for attack, having the IV be zero is a bit more niche, but it's still important. The main use case is the move Foul Play, which varies in how common it is depending on the format of VGC that you're playing. This is a move that deals its damage based on what the target's attack stat is, not your own. The same principle applies to the status condition of Confusion. When you hit yourself in Confusion, you do damage to yourself based on your own attack stat, so making that stat lower weakens the hit. So, if your Pokemon is not using any physical attacks at all, and therefore not using its attack stat, you would want that stat to be as low as possible to minimize the damage from Foul Play and Confusion. Even if they're not common, it is important for competitive players to try and mitigate all risk factors. There, of course, is going to be many more cases than what I just described. Moves like Power Trick and Guard Swap are far more niche, but do have strategies you might need specific values for in the stats. Same with various abilities. Quark Drive, Protosynthesis, and Beast Boost all raise your highest stat. Sometimes it can take considerable changes in EVs, IVs, and natures to make the ability not boost your highest base stat. My favorite example of this is Stakataka needing a defense IV of 16 to make it so that Beast Boost would raise its attack instead of its defense. Why is this such a big deal though? Well, it's because despite IVs being variable, there is not an easy way to control for them for Pokemon that you cannot breed. You just have to reset the game over and over until you get what you want. What about bottle caps? I hear you shout. And you're right. Starting in Pokemon Sun and Moon, if a Pokemon is level 100, now level 50, you can trade a bottle cap to this NPC to hyper train them. This makes the game think an IV in the stat that you choose is 31 for the purpose of battling. And that's all it does. This is actually why randomized stats in the old game were so bad. Because there was no perfect guaranteed stats, and we didn't have bottle caps until Sun and Moon, if any one of the six stats wasn't exactly the value that you need, you were out of luck and had to reset again. The odds of a perfect competitive Pokemon with the IVs that you need in every single stat is astronomically rare before Generation 6. And the problem really isn't solved until Generation 8 or Generation 9. And even in Gen 9, we still have problems. And that's because hypertraining can't lower the stats or set them to an arbitrary value. They can only make them the highest possible value if they're below that. And that leads us to Carl here. Carl is a slow Pokemon who primarily uses his special attack stat to deal damage. As you might expect, this means one of his best strategies is to operate under Trick Room as a special attacker. This means if we want the best possible set on him, I have got to make sure he's got zero speed and zero attack. Speed so he's fast while Trick Room is active, and attack so he doesn't hurt himself too badly by foul play and confusion. Okay, so what's the problem then? Well, it's the way that you have to get Ursaluna Blood Moon. It's not like a normal Ursaluna where you can evolve any Ursaring in Pokemon Legends Arceus to get it. You can only find this special Ursaluna in the land of Kitakami, where it is a one-time encounter. That means if you catch it, another one doesn't come back. So you have to do the good old soft reset for it. This is where our problem begins. First of all, let's talk about soft resetting the Switch Pokemon games. It doesn't exist. I'm not sure how this isn't complained about more, but soft resetting in these games is just hitting the home menu and then quitting the game. Personally, I find it to be a bit more cumbersome than using a button combination that every single previous game had. This could just be old person yelling at Cloud's energy, though. The second problem is how you encounter this Ursaluna. It's actually a cutscene for a story side quest, and it takes like 2.5 minutes of mashing to get through. It is not a skippable cutscene, and you can't just hold down the A button. You have to mash through the dialogue the entire time. Third is that this is not a normal encounter. For most legendaries, you can just chuck a Master Ball at them and be done with it. But for Ursaluna, it's kind of like a raid or those Titan encounter boss fights. You have to defeat it in a battle first before you can catch it. Last, but certainly not least, is that Ursaluna comes with 3 guaranteed 31 IVs. Normally, this is a good thing. But I want 2 of my stats to be 0. This means that during the reset, I have to hope that 1. I succeed on a 1 in 3 roll. This is because I want 2 of the stats to be 0, but any 3 can be the stat that gets randomly selected to be 31. Assuming that neither stat gets artificially bumped to 31, I have to hope that they either land on 0 or 1, because VGC is played at level 50, and those IVs are the same if they're uninvested at level 50. And I'm sure plenty of shiny hunters will say, well, I've done a longer, more tedious hunt with worse odds. And yes, I'm sure you have. But you're not trying to build a competitive team under a time crunch for a tournament. So in order to get Carl here, I had to make sure that the reset would go as smoothly and as quickly as possible. The first thing I did was get my main combatant, Azumarill. In order to cut the speed of the resets down, I decided to bring an Azumarill that only had 1 point of speed faster than the slowest possible Ursaluna. It took a bit to breed and train it, but that was part of the fun for me. This means, in the battle, if Azumarill went first, Ursaluna very likely had the correct speed stat. This is faster than catching it every time because Ursaluna has a greatly boosted HP stat. Since it's a raid type of a battle, Ursaluna is far more difficult to kill than usual. This is another reason that I chose Azumarill. It's able to 2-hit Ursaluna very easily if it's the correct speed stat. I actually also brought a second Azumarill to KO Ursaluna just in case. Typically, this speed strategy wouldn't work because a Pokemon's nature can change every battle. But for some reason, and luckily, Ursaluna is forced to always be quirky, so I know exactly what the slowest speed stat is going to be. There are also a couple of alternative strategies to this, by the way. There's one with Arbeliva and one with Kyogre, and both of them are technically slightly faster. Ultimately, I just used the speed IV strategy with Azumarill because I don't think that checking for the attack IV saves any time, and compared to Kyogre, I was only losing time on successful speed IV discoveries. So I don't think I've wasted that much time. The only other thing I did in-game was I made sure that I had a full party, and then in the options menu, I set send to box to be manual. This is so that upon capture, I could immediately view Ursaluna's stats without having to watch the post-battle cutscene. Out of game, I did one final thing, which was acquire this. My Ghoulikit King Kong Pro 2 Turbo Controller. The reset here is so long, and you have to mash through so much dialogue that it would literally cause me pain to mash like this for hours because I have tendonitis. So I automated it a little bit with a controller. I had to be present and pay attention to whether or not Azumarill outspeeds Ursaluna, but that's really all I was doing. And with that, the hunt began. Day in and day out, I would sit there between 2 to 5 hours streaming this hunt to you all. I wasn't doing much, I was just talking to chat and hitting the home button, occasionally getting excited about Azumarill being faster than Ursaluna. I started counting how many zero speeds that I saw, and it was during this time I realized another sad truth. Sometimes, albeit rarely, Ursaluna would be the same speed as Azumarill, and then Azumarill would win the speed tie. This means that I could get false positives on speed. Those were always heartbreakers. But not as heartbreaking as the few times I did get a false positive, but also got a zero attack IV. Yes, that's right, I got at least 4 zero attack 2-speed Ursalunas, which is probably good enough for most people. But me? No. I wanted that prize. I grinded, day in and day out, sunrise to blood moon rise. And it became apparent that I was getting really burnt out. Sitting in this chair, doing almost literally nothing for hours at a time. I felt cooped up, and I didn't like the feelings that I was getting in my legs. So I took to the great outdoors. To break up the monotony of the hunt, I did several days of it off stream on this trail in the woods by where I used to live in New York. It's an old train track that has been paved over for walkers and cyclists. I walked every day to the 1 mile marker and back because that's where a beaver was staying. I would take in their handiwork and see if I could spot them. I never did, but the sound of running water and the breeze proved to be a powerful motivator for me. Unfortunately, I didn't get the Ursaluna out there. But several days of walkies proved to be exactly what I needed. And in my very next stream post-walkies, I found Carl. He's named Carl after the dog my family fostered a decade ago. I was telling the story about how the dog Carl got his name while I found this Ursaluna. So I named the Pokemon after the dog. And that's it. 519 resets, 21 hours and 31 minutes. 19 minimum speed seen, 4 zero attack found, 1 zero attack, 0 speed. It's funny. In general, I think that Game Freak did a really good job improving competitive accessibility across both DLCs, but this was an insane blunder. I get wanting the special encounter, but let Blood Moon Ursaluna spawn in the overworld after, or let regular Ursarings evolve into it, or something. It's kind of a big deal because Ursaluna is a pretty good Pokemon. But at least that's the only one with this issue, right? I know this is kind of different than my technical or RNG videos, but I hope you all enjoyed this little adventure. Till next time.